I'll watch some TV
first until I get sleepy.
Our Father who art in heaven.
Yes.
Don't interrupt me, I'm praying.
But you called me.
Called you? No, I didn't call you. I was praying. Our Father who art in heaven.
There, you did it again.
Did what?
You called me. You said, Our Father which art in heaven. Well, here I am. What's on your mind?
Is that you, Lord?
Yes.
Oh. Well, I didn't really mean anything by it. I was, just praying. I always say the Lord's Prayer. It makes me feel good. Kind of like fulfilling a duty.
I see. Go on.
Okay. Father, Lord, in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Hold it right there. What do you mean by that?
By what?
By hallowed be thy name.
It means, I don't know what it means. It's just part of the prayer. By the way, what does it mean?
It means honored, holy, wonderful.
Hey, that makes sense. I never thought about what hallowed meant before. Thanks. Okay. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Did you really mean that?
Sure, why not?
What are you doing about it?
Doing? Well, nothing, I guess. I just think it'd be kind of neat if you got control of everything down here like you have up there. Yeah, we're kind of in a mess down here, you know.
Yes, I know. But have I got control of you?
Well, I go to church.
Well, that isn't what I asked you. What about your bad temper? You really got a problem here, you know. And then there's the way you spend your money, all on yourself. And what about the kind of books you read?
Hold on just a minute. You're picking on me. I'm just as good as some of the rest of those people at church.
Excuse me? I thought you were praying for my will to be done. If that is to happen, it will have to start with the ones who are praying for it. Like you, for example.
Oh, all right. I guess I do have some hang-ups. Now that you mentioned it, I could probably name some others.
So could I.
I haven't thought about it very much until now, but I really would like to cut out some of those things. I would like to, be really free.
Good. Now we're getting somewhere. We'll work together, you and me. I'm proud of you.
Well, look, Lord, if you don't mind, I need to finish up here because this is taking a lot longer than it usually does. Our Father, our cousin, will be living. Give us this day our daily bread.
You need to cut out that bread. You're overweight
as it is. Hey, now wait a minute. What is this? Here I was doing my religious duty, and all of a sudden you break in and remind me of all my hang-ups.
Praying is a dangerous thing. You might get what you want, what you ask for. Remember, you called me, and here I am. It's too late to stop now. Keep praying. Well, go on.
I'm scared, too.
I'm scared? Of what?
I know what you'll say in the next part.
Try it.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
And what about you-know-who?
See, I knew it. I knew you'd bring him up. Lord, he's told lies about me, spread stories. He never paid back the money he owes me. And I've sworn to get even with him.
But your prayer. What about your prayer?
I didn't really mean it.
Well, at least you're honest. But it's quite a load carrying around all that bitterness and resentment, isn't it?
Yes. And I'll feel better as soon as I get even with him. Boy, have I got some plans for him. He'll wish he'd never been born.
Now, you won't feel any better. You'll feel worse. Revenge isn't sweet. You know how unhappy you are. Well, I can change that.
You can? How?
Forgive him. Then I'll forgive you. And the hate and the sin will be his problem, not yours. You will have settled the problem as far as you are concerned.
Oh, you're right. You're always right. And more than I want revenge, I want to be right with you. All right, I forgive him.
There now. Wonderful. do you feel?
Well, not bad. Not bad at all. In fact, I feel pretty great. I don't think I'll go to bed uptight tonight. I haven't been getting much rest, you know.
Yeah, I know. But you're not through with your prayer, are you? Go on.
All right. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Good, good. I'll do that. But don't put yourself in a place where you can be tempted.
What do you mean by that?
You know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, I guess I do know.
Okay, go ahead. Finish your prayer.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Do you know what you bring me glory? Or what would bring me glory? What would really make me happy?
No, I don't. But I'd like to know, Lord. I want to please you now. I've really made a mess of things, and I truly do want to follow you. I can see how great that would be. So tell me, how do I make you happy?
You just did.
Thank you. In case anybody was confused, that was Glenn back there.
I don't want any of the kids to think, you know. That. This morning when I asked Glenn to do that, I asked him if he ever heard God's voice, you know, if he knows what God sounds like, because I didn't have any suggestions for him, you know. But, you know, I haven't really met anybody who claims to have had a conversation with God like that, and that's just an imaginary one. But suppose that God were to have a conversation with you. Suppose he was to speak with you, to ask you to take stock of your life. And suppose he asked you to, or he commanded you to assess your life, and he told you there'll be no more personal appearances or conversations, you will not hear my voice again, but in 5 years, I'm going to take stock of what you've done differently in the last 5 years, knowing that I'm watching, knowing that the way you live matters to me, and that I'm going to make an assessment of you. Well, I posed that to our congregation here in Pleasant Hills Christian Church 5 years ago. You know, what would you do differently in the next 5 years than you've done in the past 5 years? If, apart from your own death, you're to see this date 5 years out, and it almost sounds futuristic. I know when a new year starts, 2012 sounded so futuristic to me, and now I'm getting used to writing 2012, and next thing you know, it's 2013. But 2017, have you ever heard anyone mention that number yet? 2017, that's 5 short years ago, or 5 short years to come. And if you look back 5 years, you know, it seems like time just passes so fast, and the older you get, the faster it seems to pass. And sooner or later, our life made up of 5-year chunks is gone forever. I saw on my wife's smartphone a video that she shot yesterday. Her mother has Lou Gehrig's disease. And we rented a handicap accessible van for this weekend. And every day right now, in the next 3 days, her mom gets her wish, wherever she wants to go, whatever she wants to do. She's hit a plateau here where she's feeling okay. And this is the first time she was actually able to go anywhere but the hospital for a year and a half. And so Beverly showed me a video that she shot of her mother sitting in her wheelchair next to her mother's bed at the old folks' home where she is laying in bed, refusing to die and still cognizant. And they were both crying and they were saying they loved each other, and Beverly's mom was saying, sorry, I couldn't get you, you know, I couldn't come to you, I wanted to come to you. And they were both saying, I love you over and over again, holding each other's hands and stroking each other. And her mom said, we're both getting old. You know, I'm sure that's not what my mother-in-law wanted to hear, but she said something about the chair she's in, and I couldn't quite hear all of it because the audio wasn't that great, and I'm just watching it on her phone, but it brought tears to my eyes just watching this exchange between the two of them while Beverly was quietly filming it. And, you know, they don't have 5, neither one of them have 5 years, apart from a miracle. Probably you wouldn't expect either one of them to be alive a year from now. And we tend to take for granted our life and our days. And we get very, very busy and time flies, marches on. And sometimes we neglect to pay attention to the most important things. Let's turn to Psalm 39, verse 4. Let's not just look at this as a verse for reading in the Bible, but let's appropriate it into our very own being as a prayer. Let's say this to the Lord when you read the words intended for God's ears and make it personal. Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. You may not feel frail, you may feel great. You might feel like you've got a lease on life and that, you know, I remember how I felt when I was a teenager, you know, you just felt invincible. Like you could just go and go and go and you weren't interested in hearing about, you know, eventually you'll regret that or whatever the words from older, wiser people. You just feel like you're just going to go forever. But the truth is, we do age. And time and circumstance can happen to anybody, even a strong person in their youth. It can just in an instant have their life taken from them, or else inexorably changed so that they end up not having the life that they count on. You know, you could end up in debilitated or quadriplegic. You just don't know what will happen. And so it's very important to use the gifts that God's given us, the time that God's given us, starting immediately, clear-headed, proactively, recognizing that each opportunity, each day that we have, each morning that we wake up and we have life and vitality is a gift from God, and it ought to be used to the glory of God. Let's turn to James chapter 4. I'm sure you know this verse, but again, let's read it and make it personal. James chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you don't know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. And then it goes on to say, but now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. We shouldn't be presumptuous enough to talk about what we are going to do as if we have control of the universe. We don't. We don't have any idea what will happen, you know, when we step out of here. In fact, we've even had instances where right in the middle of a worship service, we had to stop the worship service and call an ambulance. You know, someone taken out of here in an ambulance. Now, that person ended up being all right, but you don't know when your last heartbeat is. It goes on in verse 17, the last verse of this chapter in James chapter 4. It says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. We need to live intentionally. We need to live in the moment. We need to look at every day that we live as a sacred trust, something that we are to be stewards of. We need to live recognizing that God is on high. He's in heaven. He's aware. He's watching. His Son is returning. Ultimately, we will take into account for every idle word. I said an idle word this week. I forget what it was. I forget something. It was some kind of just in jest or whatever. My mom in jest quoted that verse to me, that sooner or later you'll take account of every idle word. But we need to live intentionally. We need to live in such a way that, you know, when we look back, our life is the culmination or the product or the If you add all the days up that God gives us, whatever our legacy is or whatever the fruit of our life is the total, it's the sum of those parts. And if we just live one day kind of lackadaisically at a time, thinking we've always got tomorrow, well, then your life ends up being, you know, the summation of all that, you know, kind of slumbering through life and not making a difference, not making the impact, not bearing the fruit that God intends us to bear. You know, He's given us in this New Covenant Church a tremendous gift in the Holy Spirit. And as we celebrate today on Pentecost, the birth of the New Covenant Church and the fact that Jesus Christ actually takes up residence within us, we need to appreciate that gift of the Holy Spirit and bear fruit instead of quenching the Spirit and living in a fog and being in a daze and not taking things seriously. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Therefore, he says, "Awake, you who sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore," verse 17, "don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So let's do that, brethren. Let's be alert. Let's try to use the wisdom that we're able to have because God blesses us with His Holy Spirit. Let's take advantage of each day, each year. Let's not just assume that we've got later on to get serious about being a blessing to God and being a light to the world around us. We need to get about doing the Lord's business and not be like that guy, you know, who was just doing his religious and a perfunctory kind of religious duty, as he called it, in a perfunctory way, not really intending what he's saying, not being intentional about his relationship with God. There is a verse that poignantly illustrates our condition if we live without introspection. If we live without being intentional in our response to God, without really giving God the reins of our lives. It's in Jeremiah chapter 8, and I'll read it before you can get there. In verse 20 it says, "The harvest is past, summer is ended, and we are not yet saved." To me that is kind of poetic in a way, but it has a certain punch to it. Hopefully we don't ever find ourselves in a point in our life where we look around us and we've missed our opportunity and it's too late and now the time's up. We have the opportunity right now to recognize that God's called us. He's forgiven our sins. He's equipped us with His Holy Spirit and we've got a job to do. We've got the Great Commission and, you know, a church to serve, a world that needs us, and we need to be serious about doing it, not kind of slumbering and back moving backward at a shuffling pace, you know, toward the kingdom. Let's turn to Psalm 139 so that we can end on a positive verse. Without forgetting the verses that might bring us up short, let's end on some encouragement. And again, let's make this our prayer. Psalm 139:23. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let's bow our heads.